If you ask most people today what they find beautiful about another person, you will likely hear a description of some kind of outward physical attribute, such as, I like big eyes, or long hair, muscles, or a physique, or some other kind of outward description. Rarely will you ever hear someone describe attractiveness being generosity, caring, kindness, courage, or a sense of humor. And if you visit someone's home from the former Soviet Union and you see that banner of the Soviet Union on the wall, it's a red flag. You see, that celebrity that you once thought was just so hot right now can lose all of that attraction in one overnight, or even in a headline. And you certainly read about celebrities who've committed some of the worst of sins. Their names are splashed in the newspapers and their photos are on the internet. And that once heartthrob of a guy who beat his girlfriend suddenly lost all of his appeal. And instead of being able to look at his picture, all you can see when you see that image is just disgust. He has the same hair, the same eyes, the same figure as before, but there is no longer any kind of appeal. Physical attraction is definitely real, but it is also quite fluid and very flexible. And God wired us to appreciate outer beauty, and it helps us to find others physically attractive, and that supports God's plan that humankind marry and bear children. It propagates the human race. But just as God gave us physical senses, He also gave us a desire for what is good. And what's on the outside is only one element of what we might find attractive. And it's certainly not the most important element. The most important attraction is and ought to be faith in Jesus Christ, because He brings people together forever. And any potential spouse who has faith in Jesus Christ will certainly be more loyal, more dedicated, more responsible, more loving. But our culture has turned the standard of beauty upside down. Celebrities may appear attractive, but the terrible behavior of some of them is as ugly as it can be. And when real life imitates artists, real lives become as ugly as the artist they're trying to imitate. And there is a better way to look for beauty. Around 3,000 years ago, God had made a choice of who was going to become the king of his country, of his nation Israel. But before that king was appointed, God told the prophet Samuel to go to the house of Jesse and appoint the next king. One by one, Samuel watched the parade of Jesse's sons, and each time Samuel thought, this must be the one, and he asked God, is this the one that I should anoint? Each time, God said, no, that's not the one. And He told Samuel, do not look at the appearance or at his physical stature, because I refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, yes, but sir, the Lord looks at the heart. Yes, sir. The one who would become king of Israel that Samuel was to anoint, to indicate he was the appointed of God, was outside in the pasture watching the sheep. Who would have thought that a sheep herder would become the next king? Not Samuel, until he was instructed by God. Look at what's going on with people today, especially with young people. Many of them would prefer to be in that in crowd where the popular people are, where the beautiful people are. But if they get in with such groups, they quickly find out that those people aren't all that nice, not even to each other. Good looks and outward allurement due to shapeliness or symmetry are certainly not the best way to measure beauty. You may have a heard that saying that has been attributed to Red Fox from Sanford and Son, that old TV comedy. Beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes all the way to the bone. And though it was meant as a joke, a lack of inner beauty means that ugliness may well indeed permeate a person's entire being. Ugly in this statement, though, is suggesting meanness in behavior, or a hateful attitude, a sadistic nature harboring vanity or pride, or holding other negative attitudes that are hurtful both to oneself as well as to others. Such ugliness also makes a person's life miserable. As Solomon said, the way of the transgressor is hard. And such ugliness on the inside must be replaced by a godly character that will make a person beautiful on the inside out. Changing how a person thinks will change a person's character. And when a person is converted to Christ, that old ugly sinner that was inside is made new by rising with Christ in baptism. The change continues, for Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed through the renewing of the mind. That makes a person beautiful on the inside. We have all met Christians who sometimes acted ugly, but hopefully, through the power of God's word and His grace in giving them time to grow, they will be changed. But even if beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and even if inner beauty is inside where a person cannot see, I suggest to you that that beauty will be visible in the expression of one's inner character as a person lives their lives for the glory of God. The Bible teaches that a person's real beauty is not a result of superficial decorations, as with hairstyles or jewelry or clothes. Instead, true and lasting comeliness glows from that inner self that provides an unfading beauty, like Peter described as a gentle and quiet spirit in 1 Peter chapter 3. Where he said, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Sure, Peter was addressing godly women. But when it comes to true beauty, there is that inner person that matters more to everyone than what is visible on the outside. Beauty is a universal value, isn't it? I'm speaking humanly, the culture throughout the world. Everybody wants to be beautiful or handsome, and they want to associate with people who look like them. But I suspect that all of us who took time today to make ourselves look as beautiful or as handsome as we could, spent time not just because of custom, but because of respect for one another. But what is it exactly that makes us beautiful? If you lived in Thailand and you were a member of the Ka Yan tribe, you might think that a woman is more beautiful the longer her neck with the more brass rings around it. But that wouldn't be so attractive in New Zealand among the indigenous Maori people who prefer face tattoos, especially around the lips. And others have been getting similar tattoos even though they weren't members of the indigenous tribe, and it's causing quite a stir among the exclusive Maori. But a face tattoo wouldn't get you a second glance in the Cairo tribe in Egypt, where they prefer skin scarification for both men and women. That's what makes them attractive. In different cultures, there are different customs, and sometimes what is beautiful in one place is the opposite in another. Trim and lean is attractive in some cultures, but not in Mauritania, where plus sizes are preferred. Straight teeth are valued almost universally around the world, except in modern-day Japan, where a lot of young girls have come to believe that perfectly straight teeth are too intimidating, and it will be a put-off to other people who are acting interested in them. So they pay orthodontia doctors to change their teeth to make them look a little crooked. But are any of those externals really what provides appeal? Just ask a banana. True beauty, according to the ultimate standard given to us by God who created all of humankind, it starts on the inside. And that should not be a surprise to us when we consider where beauty comes from. A text in Psalms declares that God himself is beautiful. Read in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, are you wondering how King David was able to call the invisible God beautiful? Jesus said, God is a spirit. How could David therefore see a spirit to know whether it's beautiful or not? With God being a spirit, without a physical form like his human creation, how would anyone know what he looked like? But David was inspired by God. And because this was the words that God gave to him, what he wrote was the truth from God, and so that makes me think that beauty is comprised of something other than physical appearance. Now, since the written word in the Psalm speaks of God's beauty, and since God is invisible, God's standard of beauty, therefore, is not based on what is seen outwardly. God doesn't have an outwardly, but his kind of beauty is based on inner character. The immediate context of Psalm 27 and verse 4 will help you understand David's assessment of God's beauty was because of God's love and concern and care for David. And showing love and kindness makes everyone more beautiful. There are lots of ways to improve your face value. One is to smile. A smile is a very minor form of compassion on someone else, empathizing with them, recognizing that they're in the same human race as all the others, and so we smile at one another. And if you haven't yet observed the exquisite, lovely appearance of God, let me show you God's tender, loving care, and that'll make you smile. Look at it this way. Even though we know we ought to pray, even trying to pray when we're discouraged, it can feel like just another checkbox, which leaves us feeling even more guilty, because when we're discouraged, we haven't checked that box. But how is it that simple, plain human beings can make life so complicated in that way? Well, in this modern age of information that is only a Google search away, with high-speed everything, microwave ovens, and every whim supplied at a moment's notice for anybody that can afford it, connecting with friends on Facebook, flooded by images of everyone's relatives and personal updates, we human beings can still feel disconnected and even insignificant. And that can be overwhelming and even discouraging. Life is full of dilemmas like that, conflicting desires with real and imaginary needs existing at the same time. And when we feel discouraged for whatever reason, ironically, when we are the most stressed, we often deprive ourselves of what we need the most. And when we finally drop to our knees because we have nowhere else to go in prayer, we can go to God and we can say, "Blessed be the God of all comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Even when we forget about the comfort that God can give, we try to find it everywhere else. And when we can't, then we ultimately turn to God. There are few texts in the Bible that are more beautiful than Psalm 23, where the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down beside still waters. He leads me in beside the green pastures." And in those words, the psalmist pointed out how that God was concerned about his human creation, just as a shepherd is for the sheep. And in all of that, let me tell you about how God keeps watching over us. With our God showing his loving presence everywhere we go on this earth, communicating his loving kindness to us through the surrounding beauty in the natural world, the loving care that God has for his creation is everywhere the sun shines. Psalm 19 is the place where it begins. The heavens declare the glory of God. But in verse 4 of that chapter, the Bible says he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run a race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. And this summer is a testimony to that. God provides sunshine for every one of his creatures so that they can live on this earth that he has appointed as the bounds of man's habitation. The moon and the stars remind us that God's light shines even in the dark places of this world. And here's another way to see the beauty of God. When Jesus reassured his disciples that the Father in heaven is always near and caring for them, Matthew 6:26, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" The little sparrows provide a valuable lesson about how much God cares for us. And when we understand God's love in these ways, we can see a little more of his beauty shining forth from his divine character. And since God is eternal, and since his divine character manifests the ultimate kind of beauty to be seen, we should discount the outward appearance as nothing more than a facade of fading flowers. And they will fade. Just wait till fall. Physical beauty diminishes with time, but the timeless beauty comes from inside, especially the person who has submitted to God. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your husbands, your own husbands." And this kind of submission comes from having the right kind of attitude toward God and the world in which God has placed us in. That attitude requires love and respect for God, as well as the love and respect for the order that God created in the world that he has made. Order does not make some people more important than others, but it recognizes the various roles that are required in order for order to exist. Even the Godhead works in complete harmony. While each distinct person in this triune Godhead performs a distinct role, the Father sent the Son down to this earth. The Son died on the cross for sin and took up his life again. The Father and the Son sent the Spirit who revealed the Word that enables us to understand the power of God in our lives, that there might be order and harmony in the world. That knowledge makes submitting to God possible, and therefore submitting to others who have been given leadership roles, not only in the family, at home, but also in the church, and in the community, in the nation. And that order is both necessary and desirable, as well as beautiful, even as God has ordained it. Now that attitude comes from understanding the roles that God gives. And understanding that role means that we'll never seek to usurp the role, some other role that God has not given. God made man the head of the house, just as Christ is the head of the church. And especially as the head of the church, everyone should submit to Christ. And that is a beautiful relationship. So we live in the role that God gives, under His authority, and life will be richly blessed because of it. There's an attraction in that kind of lifestyle that outshines and outlasts any kind of external form or size or symmetry or luster or skin tone. Peter wrote about the attractiveness of that inner spirit in the latter part of verse 1 when he said that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Even sinners can see the beauty of that inner person who is adorned with the doctrine of God. There are other kinds of adornment that are not nearly so charming. And Peter attested to the fact that emphasizing the outward appearance over the inner person detracts from real and lasting beauty. It's written in verses 3 and 4. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Too many people mistakenly associate gentleness with weakness. Weakness is not a synonym with gentleness. It's written in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a love and of a sound mind. Now this is not a contradiction. When Peter said it was the hidden person of the heart, that gentle and quiet spirit, he was talking about the kind of attitudes and actions that Christians take that beautify the presence of Christ here upon the earth. Every Christian, man and woman alike, should be gentle, whose humility and faith does not leave a spineless and speechless jellyfish of a person, but whose inner strength of faith shows through graceful and loving speech, grounded in the truth, grounded in conviction, and practiced with compassion. Christ was gentle. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, after he said, "Take my yoke upon you," he said, "I am gentle and lowly in heart." And you know how Jesus humbled himself? He was obedient all the way to the death, giving his life for us, and all the while, unquestionably, standing for the truth and in the truth because he is the truth. Gentleness is not a passive, quiet tolerance. It is a gracefully spoken and honest reminder of God's word shared with God's love. And jewelry and makeup are purely external. The shine and the glimmer of light on metal or mineral may well outlast the outward beauty of the human body, but it will not last into eternity. True and lasting beauty cannot come from accessorizing, or from plastic surgery, or from cosmetic applications. Hairstyles, jewelry, and clothing may enhance the outward appearance that most human beings look at, and unfortunately, too many of them only look at it. However, it is not that important to the child of God. And to God, it is the most unimportant part of our appearance. However, it is not that outward beauty is totally unimportant, but the beauty that God requires is the beauty that improves with time and diligence in our service to Him. By contrast, that outward appearance changes almost every day. As each new day comes, it brings a new wrinkle or a sag, or a blemish or a snag, and a freckle here or some discoloration there. We stop looking like $1 million and maybe a little more like a garbage truck. But let me show you how a gentle spirit is attractive everywhere in every time period. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. It quietly shouts. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Softer tones and lower volumes draw people together. They naturally get closer because they want to get close enough to hear you. But loud accusations and insults and railing contradictions drive people away, and it only builds walls of animosity. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that group that loves each other and expresses that love in very real ways, especially when forgiveness is necessary? Instead of selfish competition, instead of trying to look better than everybody else, instead of trying to have more publicity than everybody else, there is selfless service instead, putting others first. Instead of complaining about one another, there is acceptance and encouragement of one another. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. With a gentle and quiet spirit resulting from faith and confidence in our Father in heaven, everyone in view will be drawn to that beauty. Now, make yourself more attractive by getting rid of that old ugly sin that might be hiding somewhere inside. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, you can get rid of that old man of sin. No matter how much lipstick you might put on him, he's still ugly. And when you go into the water and you come back up, that old man of sin is dead. He's left behind. And that's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, we are raised to walk in newness of life. But you have to have faith in Christ first. And if you have enough faith to humble yourself to God, then you'll be willing to turn away from that old life of sin, make a confession of faith, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then being baptized in Christ, into Christ, will put you into the body of Christ, where you can work together with God's people to beautify the world. But if you've become a Christian and there is some kind of ugliness still lingering, repent and ask the Lord's mercy. And He is faithful and just to forgive us all unrighteousness. If there's anyone here today that needs the help of the saints to be right with God, then we stand ready to assist. And if you'll come forward while we stand and sing the song of invitation, we will be glad to help.